there tonight, if you don't mind. I really believe I'm obeying what the Lord wants me to do tonight in being here. So go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we'll just get as far as we get, and I'll be out done, Lord willing, at a decent time tonight, sometime before midnight. Just kidding. We got two people that would stay. One laughed, so he would probably just be laughing at me, and the other one said amen, so that's a good thing, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 13. It says, consider the work of God. What a good question. What a good thing to say. If you believe there's a God and you believe he's working, it's good to stop and consider. Think about it. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Now watch verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. For God has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Let's just pray right there. We're probably going to get through more than these two verses tonight, but let's just stop there and pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. Father, I love you, and I thank you for loving me in spite of me. Lord, I don't want at all to come across to anybody in this room tonight as self-righteous, as arrogant, as thinking that I am in any way the answer. I know I'm not. And I know Christ is the answer. I realize, Lord, that I'm complete in you. That without you, I'd be looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places, and I'd never find it. And I thank you, Lord, for loving me. I thank you for making yourself real to me. I thank you for what you've done in our church. I thank you for the lives, God, that you've changed. And I'm not the only one here tonight that would say you've changed our lives. And Lord, we're hopeless. We're a mess. We need your help. Every one of us needs your help. Some of us don't realize it, others do, but we all know, Lord, down deep in our soul, we all know we need you. If there's anybody here tonight that doesn't realize that, I pray you'd help them to realize it before they leave, and may they get things straight between you and them. And Lord, I pray that you'd make me an able minister of Jesus Christ. Help me to stay fully in tune with you. Help my spirit to be submitted and surrendered to yours under the control of your spirit, of your hand, guided and directed by you as I teach. That I'd not get in your way and stop your work in the hearts and lives of the people that are here tonight. Pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, verse number 13, he said this, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Folks, we live in a generation that does not understand the Lord. Everybody has redefined truth. You know what? The Lord's truth, man. He don't mess around. Jesus Christ, when he was here, that's what I appreciate about him, is that he didn't play around with people. He told them exactly what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. That's the problem with our culture today. And I'm not just talking about all them out there. I'm talking about you and me in here. We don't want to hear what God actually has to say about us. If God said it's crooked. And you can't make it straight. The more you look around at our society and culture as they've redefined sin, what sin is and what sin isn't, they try to say good is unrighteous and unrighteousness is good, you'll see the result and the effect of a nation that rejects God and his word. You'll see it in your own life. You'll see sin in your own life, things you're trying to justify, things you're protecting, you're sheltering. Amen. And you're saying, well, this is okay, I think it's okay. Well, I don't feel like it's wrong, I don't feel like it's wrong, I think it's all right. And God's saying, no, it ain't right. And you're saying it is right. It's that self-justification, right? Well, the reason I'm bitter, well, the reason I'm unforgiving, well, the reason I'm hateful is because of what they did to me. And so I'm right to be wrong because somebody else was wrong or what they did to me, and I was right in the beginning, so now I'm right to be wrong. You can't make it straight if God said it's crooked. Period. And you'll see the more we try to, in church and in the culture, the worse off it gets. Suicide rates are going up. And folks, that ain't just among certain segment of the population. It's spreading like crazy. Drug addiction's going up. Alcohol addiction's going up. What is it? I'll tell you what it is. This world has gone around telling you and me, you don't need to listen to God, you don't need to listen to the Bible, you don't need to listen to Christianity. I'm talking true biblical Christianity. You don't need to listen to that because that's all messed up and everything's okay that really is not okay according to God. We don't need more religion. I'll say that again since you didn't amen it. We don't need more religion. We got enough of that in this world. Religion has shed more blood than anything else on the planet. You know what the wars are motivated by? Money, politicians, religion. They have been going all the way back. We don't need more religion. You know what we need more? We need more God. Hey, we need more of that straight way. We need more of God's men in the pulpits in America to get in the pulpit and say right is right, wrong is wrong, like it or lump it. It don't matter. Listen, Jesus Christ, he told the truth, man. He called a spade, he called a sinner a sinner. He said, right's right, wrong is wrong is wrong. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus Christ hateful? God so what? Loved the world that he did what? Gave his only begotten son. He ain't hateful. And he can still tell you, you're wrong. That ain't right. And I guess what? You do what you want, but you and I don't have any fellowship till you get that thing straightened out. God will fellowship with a man who has sin in his nature, but not with a man who has sin in his heart. That's the difference. I've seen Christians struggle, man. And I mean struggle. I mean have problems, big problems, what we would consider big sins. And I've seen them struggle for years, and God still seemed to put up with them. Why? Because some people have sin in their nature that they deal with that they're not happy about, but they're trying to get straightened up. And it ain't in their heart. I've seen other Christians just justify and make excuse and just say, well, it ain't wrong. They might say it's wrong, but it ain't wrong. I think it's all right, and I don't think that's what that verse means. And twist verses, take them out of context, ignore what God says, rebel against what God says. And you know what I've seen in that? I've seen some miserable people that never seem to get out of it. Never. I don't want to live my life like that. And it, folks, it's hard. You know why? Because you and I like the crooked path. Don't kid me. Don't kid me. Your flesh likes everything God says is wrong. It's that whole wet paint don't touch, right? You would never think about coming up here and touching this pulpit. I've watched a bunch of people walk by. It was probably close to 100 people here this morning, maybe a little over, maybe a little under. I got 104 on my prayer list. That's regular attenders, not including visitors. Nobody came up here and went like that this morning. You know what I guarantee you would happen? If I put a sign up here that said, wet paint, please don't touch, I 100% guarantee you that thing would get touched before the end of the service. You know what that is? That's human. That's exactly right. That's human nature. God says, don't do it. You know what you want to do? You want to do it. You know why? You're crooked. And you can't make it straight. I don't care how hard you try. You cannot make it straight. You could put it under the disguise of anything you want. Love, acceptance. Well, God loves us all. God loves us all. Yeah, right. God loves us all. And you know what else he said? You're all sinners. Yeah. And you know what else he said? You don't get right with Jesus Christ. You don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You go to hell for eternity. So let's not get lopsided on things. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of Christians that get lopsided on one end or the other. You got churches nowadays that are all the way over here where nothing's wrong and everything's okay and God just loves us all and come as you are, stay as you are, leave as you came because love, love, love. And I'm like, man, I know a little bit about love. I do. I ain't saying I'm the greatest. I ain't saying I'm 100% like Christ. I'm trying. I'm a work in progress. Amen. I've been married almost 17 years. I'll tell you this much. I know that I love her. Love her more now than I did when I was in love. Something we got now is different. I mean, some of these people, Brother D's married 40 years, brother. Close to it. What's that? 42 years, there you go. Knows a little bit more at 42 years of marriage. Well, you guys are how long, brother? Brother Paul? 43. You always got a one-up, don't you? Whoa! And the what, June?
Yeah,
Dave, you're done, man. You're buried. He buried. You're lucky Ramona's not here, but we're going to tell her. Amen. Look, they know a little bit more about it than they did when they were 17. I understand love. But let me tell you something else. With that love comes some other things. You mess with my wife, you're going to find out hate. Amen. You know what God loved? First time love is ever mentioned in the Bible. You know what God loved? His son. The first time the word love is ever mentioned in your Bible has nothing to do with romance. It has nothing to do with immorality. Since the little kids are in here, I'll use safe words. Nothing to do with any of that junk. It has to do with the love of a father for his son. Abraham for Isaac, a type of God the Father with Jesus Christ the Son, who was laying himself down to be sacrificed on that altar as the will of the Father demanded. The greatest love is the love of God for his son, Jesus Christ. And you know what he did? He loved you and I so much that he sent Jesus Christ to come down and lay himself down on that altar so that our sins could be taken care of. Yeah, that's how crooked we are. Christ was so straight, man. God loves you. But he don't love you so much he'll let you circumvent Jesus Christ and throw away the Bible and throw away truth and say, well, God loves me. God so loved. That's past tense. The problem with people nowadays, the problem with churches nowadays, the problem with preachers nowadays is they can't stink and read.
Oh, the Greek word for this is,
oh, go soak your head. God so loved. That is past tense. You want the love of God, you better find his son. He loves his son. You'll find his love when you find his son. You can't make something crooked, straight, that God made crooked. You can't change the gospel. It's straight. It's a narrow path. It's a narrow way. There's one way to get there. There ain't no other way to get there. You know what I think? I think I want to be straight, man. I want to be as straight as an arrow. Why? Because that's what pleases God. I want that balance. I want his love. I want to show you something. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is something that's important for church people to remember. It's a Sunday night, and most people aren't in church on Sunday night unless they're serious. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think it's highly important for you and I to remember something. We didn't remember where we came from. We didn't remember how crooked we are because we like to use the Bible to make ourselves feel good now that we got it all together and we got over all of our past sins and all the things we used to be and we're straightened up now. I mean, we're flying right, living right, looking right. We need to remember where we came from. We remember how crooked we were without the Lord so that we can help some other people who are pretty crooked. You live in a messed up, crooked society, man. I mean, marriage is falling apart so fast. It's a mess out there. The violence is getting worse and worse. The hate's getting worse and worse. Somebody was cutting my hair this week, and she was talking about how messed up everything is, and she was talking about a girl that works with her that she just got a divorce. Got a divorce because her husband will come home and spend every waking moment when he got home playing video games. Never spent time with the family. The kids are just off. Like she said, the kids just had like no father. He would use up his vacation days to play video games. When a new video game came out, he only had a couple vacation days left, and he knew a new video game was coming out, and he used up his vacation days. Instead of spending time with the kids, spending time with the family, taking the family on vacation, he used up his vacation days to play video games for 2 days straight. We're not even talking about, you know, shooting heroin and killing people and robbing people and raping people and everything else going on. All the rest of the debauchery in this world. We're talking about a guy who's so addicted because of the power of his flesh that he's addicted to video games. It's crooked, man. It's messed up on every level. But don't forget, while you look around at it and just get, wow, this world's getting worse and worse, don't forget. 1 Corinthians 6:1. Dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? Here's the verses that are in your Bible that this world won't even know anything about. They always say, judge not ye be, and Christians nowadays, judge not ye be, judge not ye be, judge not. They know like one or two verses. Why? Because they're crooked and they hide behind the word of God and the straightness of it. They don't study it out and get the full balance on both sides of the equation. They hide behind certain verses. But the sad thing is the Christians do the same thing. And Paul's rebuking the church here, not the world, saying you guys are treating each other like garbage and you're not handling things the right way and your attitude towards each other ain't right. What's the matter with you? There's stupid little petty things you're suing each other over. Grow up. Verse 4, if ye then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. He's being sarcastic. I speak to your shame. That's how we know he's being sarcastic. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. No wonder the world doesn't want our God anymore. They see the way we act, and there's nothing different about you and me. They just walk out and just say, I don't need that. There's so much hate in this world, man. I'm telling you, they hate Christians. And so you know what we've done? Going right back at them. You can hate me all you want for where I stand or for what I believe, but I don't hate you. I mean it. I don't hate you. I don't look at people that are messed up in sin as though, well, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. Are you kidding me, man? You think that I think I'm that great? I didn't die on the cross for them. I don't even see the way they dress nowadays. I just can't believe the way people dress nowadays. Oh, grow up. Aim it, grow up. They don't have Christ. So if to you see that and you go, that's wrong, that ain't right. That shouldn't be. Well, thank God you have the recognition of that, because without Christ, you wouldn't even know that that's wrong. These little kids nowadays, man, they're being raised in, they have no comprehension of God, of who he is, of the Bible. They're taught from day one in schools that they came from a monkey. They act like it. What do you expect them to do? Amen. Our kids go to public school. They come, well, you wouldn't believe. Well, you know what? We try to constantly stay on them. You know what, honey? You were raised in a Christian home with parents that love each other, that have disciplined you from day one and taught you right and wrong from day one, and all you got came from God. Don't crack on them. Amen. Love them. Let them go. Let it go. I speak to your shame. Verse 6, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you. Why? Because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? They mistreated me. Okay. So you can't make it straight that you mistreat them back. Christ suffered how? Patiently. He took it right. He suffered patiently. When they reviled him, he didn't revile them again. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. He's like, all right, well, whatever, man. It's all good. That's a peaceful way to live your life. Verse 8, nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, you know, is a spiritual kingdom. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what he's saying is this. Hey, save people. There's some things you ought not be doing in the church. Why? Because you won't have that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean they don't have their salvation. It doesn't mean they won't wind up in the kingdom of heaven, which is a literal visible kingdom. It means spiritually, you can get born again and then go live like the world lives in every way. You know what he named in there? He named fornicators. That's living like you're a married couple when you're not married. He named idolaters. That, you know what that is? That's idolatry. That's worshiping an idol. He named adulterers. That's living, having relationships with somebody else's spouse. He named effeminate. That's men acting like women when they're not. Nor abusers of themselves of mankind. That's homosexuality. Nor thieves. You know what that is. Nor covetous. Wait a minute. God lists covetousness with all these other sins that everybody else sees as big sins, which they are. And then he says, nor covetous. Have we ever done that? Standing there in the parking lot talking to Brother Matt when he was dropping off Jordan, and a guy pulled in on Harley. And Brother Matt was talking, and I don't even remember what he was saying because I seen that Harley, man. And I'm like, whoa, baby, man, that is sweet. And the guy went, and he's staring at me, and then I turned around, I realized he realized I wasn't listening for a minute. He goes, jealous. And then he just kept talking. I'm like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Why? What is that? That's human nature. That's human nature. Nor drunkards, nor revilers. What's a reviler? Well, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. You ever just tear somebody's face off? Just let them have it. Just give them a piece of your mind. Just tell them exactly what they need. Maybe they did need to hear it. Maybe you were right. Maybe your position was right, their position was wrong, but how you handled it didn't please the Lord. And then you wonder why you go home all tore out of the frame and gossiping and bent out of, can you believe they, what's the problem? That kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is gone. And we're miserable. He says, nor extortioners, manipulating people for money, extorting somebody, having some power over them, manipulating them with your power, with your position. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch this in verse number 11. This is great. And such were what? Some of you. In that whole list, he said, some of you used to be exactly that. Ain't it funny how short our memories are? We'll remember everything about everybody else, won't we? But we sure forget what we were. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ain't that interesting? You know, these idiots, man, and I'm telling you, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, these idiots that pick on specific and particular things and they say, well, if you enter into this particular sin, you can't get saved. They don't know their Bible from a hole in the ground. They forgot where they came from. They're saying that the Lord's blood is good enough for their self-righteous hind end, but it ain't good enough for somebody else's sin because they don't sin the way you sin. That's as wicked as hell. You might be right. Their lifestyle might be crooked, but your attitude's just as crooked. That ain't the Lord. That ain't the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ can wash and sanctify and save anybody that'll come to him and say, Lord, I'm crooked. Would you straighten me up? Amen. And he'll say, oh, hey, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So a preacher tells you God hates you because your sin ain't my sin. He's a lying dog. He ain't a true preacher. Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you. I appreciate this help and support. And let's move on to the next verse since you amen me. Verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. God bless you. Has the Lord blessed you? I'm talking about prosperity in this world. You ever pay all your bills and have a little left over? It's okay to say yes. You don't have to be like, no, I'm poor for Jesus' sake. What do you do with it? Be joyful. It don't bless my heart. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get too personal, but it blessed my heart the way the folks, a couple of folks, some helped me move. A couple other people see my house, and everybody, our new house, just 2 months ago we moved in. And everybody has said, man, we're so happy for you. That has blessed my heart. Because you pay my bills. And so if you're like, well, man, what do you need this for? It kind of robs the joy a little bit. Man, God's been good. What's going to happen when we put that addition on the front of this building? By the grace of God, debt-free. You don't understand. For me, that's a dream come true. You know what's going to happen? I'm not going to sit around, well, we just don't deserve it. We're all just a bunch of sinners, and it's just sticks and bricks, and they don't matter at all. It doesn't really matter. Don't be happy about it. I just might let loose that side. I just might just do some laps around the build. Just, woo, man, God's been good. What a blessing, praise the Lord. Look what he's done. Oh, you're crazy. I'll shut up and get out of here. You go to a ball game and act the same way, and you get nothing out of that other than my team won. Big deal. My team's winning, man. God's good. Day of prosperity, be joyful. Enjoy it. That's what I mean it when I say, I'm happy for you when you get a new house. I'm happy for you when you get a car. I'm happy for you. I'm happy. Why? Because God's good. But, I don't like that word. In the day of adversity, consider. Why? Because not all days are prosperous, folks. There's good days in life. And there's some real bad ones. There's some turns for the worse. And the Lord says, here's how I want you to handle the days of prosperity. What? Enjoy them. Let's be simple enough. Like a little kid. Ever give your kid a present and have them not really all that happy about it? You little brat. Ain't that what you're thinking? And then you tell the same stories I tell. It's really weird how we all tell the same stories. I start wondering about our own stories. When I was a kid, we used to be lucky if we got a cardboard box to play with for Christmas. And we walked to school uphill both ways in the snow barefoot. And when I rolled my eyes like you, my parents about knocked my eyeballs out of my head. They'd have gone to jail if they beat us half as bad as we say they did, you know. But still, that's the story. Nevertheless, it's still somewhat true in a lot of ways. But man, when that kid's eyes pop, I have learned how to buy for my wife. I don't listen to nothing she says. I watch her eyes. Because she's logical, which I appreciate. And she tries to be realistic, which I appreciate. And she'll go through there, she'll be looking at all those, and she'll first thing she'll do is she'll look at the price tag. And she'll, And then she'll see one, then she checks the price tag. Because she knows how I'm wired. She figures I might as well not just completely shut this down. Let's just get the best we can get out of this. Right? And she'll, I like that one. And I'm watching her, I'm like, yeah, she's lying like a dog, man. And she'll go, ooh. Mm-hmm. When those eyes pop, man, you know you got it, right? You know what you like to see for somebody you love? You like to see, you like to see some joy, right? Don't you think God likes to see that out of us once in a while? And we act like, oh, if the Lord's blessed me and if I got something good in life and if we, then we just have to like, well, that's carnal, brother. That's covetousness. No, you're entitled to everything God gives you if God gave it to you. Yep. So don't be a spoiled brat and don't be super spiritual goofball. Say, you know what, Lord? Man, thank you, thank you, thank you. Be joyful. But if you're going to take the good, then God says there's a way to handle the bad. That's the hard part. That is the hard part. So here's what he says about the bad. In the day of adversity, consider. Something kind of cool, I'm definitely not trying to talk like the old man, but something kind of cool about getting a little bit older is you don't flip out as much about stuff anymore. Because I've learned by a little bit of experience that I've had in life is that, yeah, bad stuff happens, setbacks come, disappointments will just knock you for a loop. But I got a really good God in heaven who has been faithful. And all things do work together for good to them that love him, to them that are called according to his purpose. And he doesn't intend for anything to tear me up and destroy me. He allows those bad days to come, for sure. We live in a sinful world. He allows those things. But in those times, I have to sit back and say, I'm going to consider the work of God. In the day of adversity, I'm going to consider this thing. Why? Because God has set the one over against the other. We already mentioned balance. It's required, folks, that we have balance in our Christian life. And in those bad days, don't throw a fit. I'm just going to quit. I don't know what's going on. Just relax. This, too, will pass if you're faithful. Because with or without the Lord in your life, you're going to have hard times. It's part of being alive on a sinful world, on a sin-cursed planet. So we might as well go through these times with the Lord and get some benefit from it. That he'll bring us out of those things better than we were when we went into if we handle them the right way. God has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after. You get that? So really, God's blessed. Praise the Lord for that. That's a wonderful thing. Enjoy it. All right, I'm going through a really difficult time. Okay, stop. Hang in there. Batten down the hatches and ride out the storm. Take some Dramamine and chill. Why? Because God has allowed these things and purposed these things in our life so that we'll learn, even in the good days, when I got all I want, and the Lord's blessed me and my dreams come true, it really wasn't my dream that I really wanted because the stuff that this world brings is really not as great as we thought it was when we didn't have it. Somebody said that to me and I knew it to be true and I was like, yeah, you're right, get out of here. said, just give it 6 months, it'll just be a house. And I was like, yeah, I know that's right. Now leave me alone. Because it's absolutely 100% right. Because the stuff of this world does not satisfy the soul. It might satisfy the need to use the bathroom with four girls and more bathrooms, that's a blessing. But it don't satisfy the soul, man. You pull in that new car and it's all the greatest. Everything's all, it's all just wonderful. And 6 months later, somebody pulls in and parks right next to you and it's the upgraded version. Enjoy what God gives you, but don't forget, that ain't what you really need. In the bad day, think and hang in there. Why? Because don't forget, what you need to find in life is Him. One life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Honestly, it's like it's amazing to me that I'm 41 years old, which is young. It's amazing to me. It hit me hard this morning. I saw Josh. I ain't seen him since we were 16, man. I'm like, what in the world? Wow, time has passed. And it's like another 41 years. Pop. I probably won't even be alive, 82 years old. And what is all this stuff that we sell our souls to, that we think is so important, what good did it get you? If it was crooked, it's going to get you to the end crooked. If you got on the right path and straightened it up, it'll get you to the end right where you need to be. And to then see His face and be as ready as you can possibly be to see Him. Folks, that's what it's all about. God's designed these things in our lives. He wants us to be happy. But He also wants us to learn to think and get serious. And it is those difficult times that cause us to sit back just a little bit and start to think about some things. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, Paul said some things about this. He had some opinions on it. One of my little dreams that really I'm not so sure how much I even care, to be honest with you. One of my little dreams is I'd like to win a world championship. I think it'd be cool to be a world champion Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That'd be pretty sweet. And you know, it seems like the more that I'm in the Bible, the more I see God blessing around here and people coming and people getting saved and people growing spiritually, and the more that kind of fades. Because what difference does it make anyways? Ain't gonna change nobody's life. Might give me a little strut. That'd be about it. And the funny thing is, next year somebody else will come and win that championship. And nobody ever even thinking remember but me. So really? Yeah, if you get it, you get it. Whatever. If it works out, it works out. If it don't, it don't. But that ain't what really makes me happy. I'd rather walk into the judgment seat of Christ afraid, because I know me. And have Him say, come here, boy. Kind of walk up those steps toward that throne and have Him get up, put His arm around me, say, you won. I did. Lord, I felt like I was getting beat half to death out there. You won. Lord, man, I didn't. Are you sure? I was exhausted, Lord. I was past the point of no return, man. I was done. You didn't quit. You won. Amen. Folks, that's what life's about. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens. You know, I always understood this. I know how to be abased. I got that part. I did. I told you stories this morning and shooting squirrels to eat dinner. You know, we were first married and working off the rent and just being just as broke as we could possibly be. But then there for a little period of time in my life, a little bit before we started the church and in the first 6 months or so, year and a half. Quit my job after year and a half of starting the church. God had started blessing, man. I was doing good. I was making some good money. And you know what I didn't realize? I didn't realize that I didn't know how to abound. You know, we got a little Scott trade account going. And I was telling everybody else, I made myself a nuisance to my family. I was 30 when we started the church, so 30, 31. Man, I was obnoxious. I didn't even realize how obnoxious I was. I was just telling everybody else how they need to handle their money and money this and money that, paying off all my debts, and I had bought my first house, and I was just high on the hog, man. And I, you know, of course, praise the Lord, bless God, God's been so good, all praise God, man. We were broke, and Lord, we were just in so much debt, and we just paid it all off, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And you know what the Lord did? I know what he did. I know this for a fact. He said, you ain't learned how to abound, so let's go back to the abasing. And I went from being all high on the hog. I quit my job with 6 months' worth of budget in the bank and debts all paid off. And, man, we were just, and I quit my job to go full-time at the church and just all high on the hog. And everybody's, oh, you're such a great man of faith. And I'm thinking, I got 6 months in the bank. I'm good. And the Lord just started whittling at that 6 months. I know it was the Lord. He started whittling at that 6 months, one little thing after the next, one transmission furnace after the next. Brought me right all the way down to the bottom. It was back to beans and rice. Sometimes it's easier, guys, to be cursed than it is to be blessed. It's easier to say, well, you know, praise the Lord and God's good and we're just serving God and suffering for Jesus and I'm driving a junker because I ain't into the money. I don't care about the money. I ain't about the money. I ain't about the money. Okay, that's right. And that's as deep in my craw as it's ever been. We haven't started passing a plate and I ain't started checking the giving rule to see whether or not you're giving. I ain't changed. But I want to learn how to have God's blessing too. That's not just monetary. I mean, even I've seen it in the church, you know, as their church starts growing and it's like, yeah, praise the Lord, and I get around other preachers. I'll never forget, I started to learn a lesson. I started to learn a lesson. And it didn't sink in until a couple years ago. I went to some meeting out east. Sitting there at that meeting, a bunch of preachers were there from all over, and I was sitting next to a kid that had gone to school with me, and he's like, you're Mike Reagan? I was, yeah, that's kind of creepy. Who are you? And he's like, oh, man, we went to school together. And I'm like, okay. How you doing? How many you running? And we had been abounding. And I told him how many we'd been running. And that guy's face just fell. And it hit me. He goes, man, we're not doing that good. And it hit me. God had been blessing my ministry. And that guy's ministry wasn't taking off like my ministry had been taking off. And I just drained him of his joy, of feeling like God was using him, of any successful feeling he may have had in the ministry. Whether that's right or wrong, I know that I was just using the devil. Yeah. Oh, he should be more spiritually mature. That's all beside the point. I was just used of the devil to shoot a hole in that guy's gut. And I never forgot that, but the lesson didn't really sink in until not too long ago. You got to learn how to abound. You got to learn how to have God bless you and be thankful for it, not feel like you have to hide it or apologize for it, but not rub it in somebody else's face to where they get discouraged because God's blessed you. Uh-huh. Paul said, I know how to do both. I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ with strength. I can be poor and I can be rich through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's all about him, see? Ecclesiastes 7, the end that man should find nothing after him. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much money you don't have. God have mercy on my soul the day I start looking at people like a bank account, like a tithe check, like anything else other than that. Keep your stinking money. Amen. Give God your heart. Amen. That works out because if God gets your heart, your money will go where God wants it. And if God wants it here, it'll be here and everything's great. Amen? Amen. It's about your heart. This ministry ain't about the rest of that. Christ loves you, cares about you, wants to walk with you, wants you to get to know God and find nothing after God. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Look at verse 15. Ecclesiastes 7:15. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There's a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Now here you got you a real good verse. This is the thing. There's a just man that perisheth in his righteousness. So what? You know what we sit back and do? We go, he was a really good guy. Why'd he die early? When there's all these wicked guys living forever. That ain't right. That ain't fair. Who are you calling God out saying God ain't right? How do you know that God wasn't sitting in heaven going, if I don't take him out, take him home right now, he's going to suffer more pain in the last few years of his life than he will if I don't just take him home now, because I see what's coming and I'm just going to spare him from that. Come on home, buddy. And we sit there and we go, man, how could God do something like that? Why would God let something like that happen? He was a great man. He wasn't yours. You didn't die for him. You ain't God. He's God. We like this morning, our Father which art in heaven. That means you ain't. He's got a perspective you and I don't have. And I know it hurts sometimes to see what things that happen that don't make sense to us. But I guarantee you they make sense to God. He's saying under the sun, I've seen a righteous man. In the days of my vanity, a just man that perisheth in his righteousness. Okay, so what? You know why I say so what? He got out of this world. I'm not saying I want to die early, man. I don't have a death wish. I'm not as crazy as Paul. He's like, man, I'd rather depart and be with God. I kind of enjoy my life a little bit. I like my dogs. I like my kids. I like my wife in the opposite order. Got to be careful, man. Got to be real careful. I'm enjoying my life. But this life ain't really all it's cracked up to be. So when the Lord says I'm taking the righteous guy home, God did him a favor. But I see the prosperity of the wicked, man. Oh, man, the psalmist wrote about that. You want to read about that a little bit, read Psalm 73. We won't go there for the sake of time, but Psalm 73, he goes through all about that, man. He's having fits. The Psalm of Asaph, he's having fits about the wicked. He's talking, man, Lord, I live right. Look at the wicked. They're prospering. What's going on, man? What's the matter with you? And he gets down to the end of that thing and kind of, you can see in that psalm, he gets it worked out. Nah, everything in life don't make sense. Don't make sense, man. But the problem is there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Well, so what? He lived a good old age. So what? Really? God gave him 20 years more than he gave the righteous man. Okay, in a sinful world, 20 years of sin? You want that? 20 years of misery? You want that? 20 years of depression? You want that? 20 years of psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors and pills? And you want that? You want 20 years of that? See what I'm saying? Our perspective gets messed up. And then die and go to a devil's hell forever? So God's all that unfair to the righteous man, huh? Maybe not. Maybe not. Our perspective is wrong, not the Lord's. Look at verse 16. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Boy, you know what you got here? You got the devil that knows how to take advantage of spirituality, of religion. Religion likes to get righteous over much. Super spiritual. You ain't super spiritual. You want me to prove it? We can play a little game here. If you're holy, you're all godly and stuff, don't shower from now till next Sunday. No showering, no washing your clothes. Wear the same clothes, don't wash them. If you're so great, you ought to walk in here next. Don't brush your teeth. Don't comb your hair. You ought to walk in here next Sunday just smelling like roses. If you walk in here and stink to high heaven, you ain't super spiritual. You're living in a rotten, dying, dead, stinky, nasty, dirty, polluted body. You are. You purge, don't you? I hope you do. If not, go to the doctor, man. It's whoosh. It's how, you know, I'm sorry. Be not righteous over much. It's okay. We all watch TV, don't we? Uh-huh. You come to church and you think we got to not be real. You know what you're proving? You're living in a dead, dying, dirty body. Don't forget. This thing is not talking about don't worry about living a holy life. It's not talking about don't separate yourself unto God. It's not saying, oh, don't be overly spiritual. It's saying don't be self-righteous. Don't start thinking you're something when you're nothing. Don't start thinking that you're the answer to your own problems, because you're not. You know what it'll do? It'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. Religion warps people's minds. They don't see themselves the way God sees them. They don't see others the way God sees them. And they don't see God the way the Bible shows them. And that's the problem with religion. It'll make you super spiritual to make you feel good and feel godly when it's nothing of the kind. You know what true religion will do to you? True religion will cause you to walk into a Bible-believing church as nervous as a cat in a stinking dog pen. Oh, yeah, man. You walk in there like, you're looking around like, does everybody love me or do they hate me? Do they want me to live or die? And you sit down and you start hearing some preaching, and it's like, I'm not sure what I think. I think, what in the world was that? And the Holy Spirit of God starts poking at your heart inside, and what you don't feel is clean and holy. Amen. No, you don't. If you do, you got a different God, a different Bible, and a different Holy Spirit than the one that started dealing with me, man. When I heard Bible preaching, old preacher was up there in the pulpit, and he's saying, you're going to fry like a saucer. You're going to burn, man. You're going to burn in hell without Christ. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I'm going to die and go to hell. Why? Because I felt filthy. I didn't feel holy. I didn't feel righteous. I didn't feel godly. I wasn't cussing. I was scared and I was calling out to God. You walk into church and they make you feel good about yourself, God ain't in there. I'm not saying every time you got to feel bad about yourself. I'm saying if you ain't right with God, if a Bible's opened and a Bible's being preached, from time to time you should leave church saying, oh me. Oh, me, oh, me, oh, me, oh, me. It shouldn't always be, oh, glory, 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 oh, praise Jesus, oh, Jesus, love, 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 love. We're all cool, everything's great. Man, if I'm hearing from God and I'm a sinner like the Bible says, every once in a while I'm going, man, I'm defiled, I'm unclean, woe is me, I'm an unclean man in the midst of unclean people. Man, my eye has seen the Lord of hosts and I know what I am. I ain't what he is. You see that? That's humility. Don't be over-righteous. Every once in a while, recognize, Lord, I need to get something straightened up, man. Lord, I'm a little messed up. Can you help me? Amen. That's how you got saved, ain't it? Amen. You were crooked, he was straight. You wanted to get straight. You went to him and said, please straighten me up. I'm done. I'm going to stop at this verse. I don't want to raise a second generation around here that were raised in church, that know their Bible, that love the Lord, that are clean, holy, godly, separated, wonderful teens that think their poop don't stink.
Right. Amen.
Amen, 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 and amen. If that offended you, get over it.
Right.
I don't want that.
Good.
I don't want them walking off their nose so high in the air they drown in the rain. I don't sit there looking at the preacher. Yeah, that's right. You're 14 years old. I'm not putting down 14-year-olds. God bless you. Quit acting like you know what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about troubles and trials and tribulations, struggles, and then talking about raising teenagers. You ain't never done that. It's okay for them to say amen and get into it. I'm just saying you know what I'm talking about when it's the spirit of that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Certainly not putting down teenagers. We got good kids in this church, and I'm thankful for them. Some of them are witnessing in public school. I'm thankful for that. But I sure don't want that stinking overly super spiritual, overly godly. Look at me. I can sing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, she's so wonderful. We're on the cleaning list. It's our week. Go get that bathroom, brother. So-and-so blew that toilet out. Oh, oh no, not me. Well, overly righteous. Scrub that thing. Put on some gloves. Put your hands in there. Get it clean. Why? Don't start thinking you're something when you're nothing. You and I ain't nothing, folks. You know who's something? Jesus Christ. He's something, man. And if we can get a hold of that, that'll change our lives. It'll change your life. It'll change my life. And then, if I can remember that, Brother Johnny, God helping me, I can go out there and find some more that are in 1 Corinthians 6. And someday we can look at them and say, and such were some of you. Now, you. Go get some that were like you. Folks, that's what it's all about, man. Let's close in a word of prayer. I'll let you go. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for being so good to us. I ask you to take these words, Lord, and help them in our hearts. Your word we need. Help them. Help our hearts. Help our minds. Help us to get a hold of this stuff. And help us, Father, to put you where you ought to be first in our lives, God. Lord, without you, I, this church, can do nothing. And Lord, we need you. We want to get something done for you, Lord. We want to see your difference in our lives, Lord. I want to see your difference in this church. I want to reach people. I want to reach lots of people, Lord. I don't want to get this adversarial attitude and posture towards this world. But I want to help them, Lord. They need you. And I can't do that if I don't have you in the proper place in my life. So take it, Lord, please. I give it to you. And use me for your honor, for your glory, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dismiss us now with your blessing, we pray. Amen.